Our next guest is out to change the way we teach sex education in America.
He'd like to see the approach move from what he calls disaster prevention model to a sex positive take, one that empowers young people to have a healthy relationship with their sexualities and each other.
Al Vernacchio joins us now. He's a high school sexuality educator and the author of For Goodness Sex, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health. Al, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you write that when God was passing out talents, he gave you ease in talking about sex. Now, that's not something most parents probably share with you. Why do you see it as important that parents and educators get more comfortable talking about sex?
Well, we can't help develop healthy sexuality in young people unless we're willing to talk with them, because they need to hear from us as parents and adults who love them. And so the book is about helping parents and concerned adults become more comfortable and more confident. Because as I tell parents all the time, talking about sex is no different than talking about anything else, no matter how much you want it to be.
How so? Why is it the same as everything else?
It's all about communicating about values, communicating about being one's authentic self, communicating about negotiating risk and reward and pleasure. So all these conversations that we're having with kids about other things in their lives, we can have the same conversations about their sexuality.
Now, you teach the topic in a high school, and in your class, you don't even get to the question of what is intercourse until halfway through your sex and society class. So if not sex itself, what do you think is the most important thing to teach kids when it comes to their sexuality?
The most important lesson, I think, is one around values and around why we believe what we believe, why we do what we do. Unless we know that and really know it at a fundamental level, it's very hard to make decisions. So we spend a lot of time in my class in the first couple of months talking about how do we know what we believe, what do we base our actions on, and then also how do we talk about sex in ways that are comfortable and that convey the messages we want to convey. Those are two fundamental things that need to happen before we can launch into conversations about sexual activity.
There still seems to be a lot of discomfort surrounding sex, particularly when we're talking to the younger generations, even today. And you even write about some would-be sex educators who are asked if it's possible for them to teach the course without using the word sex, which
right.
I guess just gives you an indication of where we are right now. Is that model working, the model which is mostly based on some kind of abstinence education?
It's not, and it's not because a lot of the abstinence-based models and a lot of sexuality education today is based on this idea of the disaster model, that our sexuality is somehow dangerous or dirty or a wild force that has to be controlled. And I'd like to change that so we can start from a point where sexuality is seen as a really good gift and the best thing about being human and the thing that allows us to connect with other people in meaningful ways. It's a lot easier to talk about it when you start from that point, as opposed to starting from thinking about all the things that can go wrong and all the dangers that can befall young people.
But you do say as parents, you have to sort of first acknowledge that your child or teenager is a sexual being, and that can be hard for parents, can't it?
I think it is. But, we're sexual beings from the moment we're born until the moment we die, and that's really just a reality. And that doesn't mean that we're always sexually active beings. So acknowledging a young person as a sexual person or a sexual being doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be sexually active. But it does mean they're going to be interested in their bodies and in pleasure and in connection and in all of those very human things.
And you're hoping that more schools turn to a sex-positive model of sexuality education. Can you describe how that plays out in your classroom? What does your classroom feel like? What do they do?
Sure. Well, the first thing we do in my classroom is we set some really simple ground rules. We ask people to speak for themselves. That's part of positive sexuality education. We let people know that we're not going to ask personal history questions and ask them about their private behaviors. That's none of our business. And that we're going to work together to create a community that's safe and where information is highlighted and where we're looking at information and skill development to make us healthy. That's really the foundation of it. It's a lot of common sense, but it really works.
And you also have a question box, right, where kids can submit anything they want to know. And you, over the course of a year and also on your blog, you try to answer these questions. And I'm curious, what kinds of things are people asking?
Yes, the question box is a really popular part of both my ninth grade and my 12th grade classes. And, you know, some of the questions are the same questions I've gotten for the last 20 years doing this work. Things like, how do you know when you're in love? Or how do you know when you're ready for a sexual relationship? And the questions range from the sort of endearing and naive. One was, do different races of people have different colored sperm cells? All the way up to much more complex and introspective questions about how do I know if I'm bisexual or things like that. So it runs the whole gamut, and my job is to answer them with honest information and with a positive bend to let them know that their sexuality is a gift and that becoming healthy in terms of sexuality is the goal.
So I'm guessing, you know, based on what you've said, that these students of yours and students across America would ask some pretty intimate questions. Now, you said you have a gift for talking with ease about sex, but most of us don't. So how do we, as a country and as parents and as just people who have teenagers in their lives, how do we get over it and start, you know, talking?
Right. We have to start small. We have to get rid of the idea that talking about sex involves, you know, sitting down around the dining room table in a family meeting sort of arrangement, and that we need to be just making small comments and asking questions as part of our daily interaction with kids when we're seeing what they're watching on television, just asking a question about maybe the relationships in the shows and what our kids think about that, or if they're listening to music, just throwing in a question or a comment about how you see what's being portrayed there. We really just need to open our mouths and start talking, and it gets easier. But unless we actually take that first step and open our mouths and start talking, it just becomes this monster that gets bigger and bigger in our heads and our fears.
We're talking right now with Al Vernacchio. He's a high school sexuality educator and the author of For Goodness Sex, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health.
And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think of the way we teach sex ed in America? How do these issues work in your school, in your family? Does abstinence-only pregnancy prevention work, do you think? And would you like your teenager to get this kind of sex-positive view of things that our guest is talking about? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about sex education in America with Al Vernacchio. He's a high school sex education teacher and the author of For Goodness Sex, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health.
And you can join the conversation. Is it time, do you think, for a more sex-positive approach to sex education in America? What concerns do you have about teaching the positives instead of focusing on the red flags like teen pregnancy and STDs? How does this all work in your family and your school? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We go to our phones now and take a call from Marianne in Appleton. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. I just wanted to say I totally agree with everything your guest is talking about right now, and I'm interested in hearing more about how he talks to his students about consent.
Okay, and that's a question that's becoming more and more relevant right now, Al. How do you approach that?
It sure is. Consent is one of the key issues that we need to be talking about with our young people, both in the classroom and in our families. I always talk about consent as positive, active consent. So it's not the silence is not consent, the active presence of a yes is consent. We need to make sure, one of the things I believe is that sex ed is really a form of social justice education, and consent is so much a part of that. If we're not having sexual activities that are equitable, that are respecting the bodies of both people, that are respecting the dignity of both people, we're not having healthy sex. And so consent involves making sure things are mutual, equitable, and that we are not just using another person as basically a sex toy, but that we are really engaging in a connection with someone else.
And Al, I've read that sometimes your students, they kind of razz you about taking what they see as a female-oriented approach to sex, making sure women consider their own empowerment, their own enjoyment. Why do you think that's important to emphasize?
I think our society has not done enough to really help women to value their bodies and to see them as amazing and to understand that having pride in their bodies and understanding their bodies does not make them anything but a smart, savvy, sexy person. It doesn't make them, a slut, and it's not bad, it's not unladylike. I think in our society we have way too much penis arrogance and way too little vulva pride, and I'm trying to create a better balance between those two things.
Wow, so I can see that you're very at ease talking about sex. It's refreshing.
Sure.
Do your students realize that you're something special? Do they sometimes come to you instead of, their parents or someone else?
Well, sometimes they do, and I have to say that I always encourage them to go and talk to their parents first, or to go and talk to their parents in addition to me. I'm not their parent. I'm their teacher, and that's a different role. Students recognize that with me they can feel safe and they can ask the questions they need to ask, and they know I'm not going to judge them and I'm not going to put them down and I'm not going to make assumptions about them. And I think those are some of the basic ground rules for having good conversations with teenagers.
Well, I know you think the parents really need to be a crucial part of this conversation. And in the absence of parent voices, I think a powerful point that you make is that, culture will fill in that silence with, pornography online or messages that might be coming in through music or television. And it can be confusing for kids to know how to process all of that. What do you think a parent's role is, and maybe your role, in helping kids navigate, the sort of sex-saturated culture that we live in?
That's such a great question. When we look before the age of the internet, I think parents were often nervous talking to kids because, what if a kid asked a question and we don't know the answer, we don't have the information? Today, kids can get information from their cell phone, from their laptop, from their iPad. What we need to do as caring adults is give them context for the information they're finding. And those conversations, I hope parents will feel a little more comfortable and confident about. So if they're learning about the mechanics of sexual activity online, we can give context to that. When do we think it's appropriate for them to be sexually active, and how? And what does pleasure mean in the context of being a healthy person? So I think it's those things that's the emphasis that we need today as adults talking to young people. They are getting lots of information. They're getting bombarded with it, but they're not getting context for it, and that's really our job.
Do you think that it's harder right now to navigate growing understanding of sexuality as a teenager than it used to be, or is it just always hard?
Yeah, I think it's always hard. I think it's different today, but I'm not sure it's harder. I think kids are still facing the same insecurities about their bodies and the same feelings of wanting to be normal but also wanting to be unique. And I mean, developmentally, teenagers are still teenagers, and as they've always been. So I don't think kids would, certainly in the 20 years I've been doing this work, I haven't heard kids say it's harder today. It's just different. And I think we as adults have to respect those differences and meet them where they are.
But it seems like because of the availability of online pornography, there might be less mystery to certain aspects of that. Is that in any way a good thing?
Online pornography, I think, is a factor that we have to be talking about. And the way that I talk with my students about it is I compare online pornography to, it's like watching their favorite action movie. When they watch an action movie on TV, they're not going to go home and try to drive their cars in those crazy ways that people do in the movies, because they know it's a movie. They know it's a staged production. And making sure they know that internet pornography is that as well. It's a staged production. It's a fantasy. It's a constructed reality and not something we can base real life on. Once kids understand that, they can actually look at that material with a much more critical eye and can really understand that its purpose is fantasy. Its purpose is not as a training ground for reality.
And Al, briefly, as we wind up here, can you give us a couple pieces of advice? If a parent is listening, is inspired to try this approach, how should they start?
Sit down with your young person, watch TV with them, Ask them about what's happening in school with their friends. Use inclusive language, so ask them about sweethearts rather than boyfriends and girlfriends. And let them know that pleasure can be achieved in lots of ways, not just sexual. And sometimes non-sexual pleasure is way more satisfying.
Al, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with Al Vernacchio, a high school sexuality educator and the author of the new book called For Goodness Sex, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health.